Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Prince is your artist of the day. Your keyword to cash is yoga, Y-O-G-A. Text it into 72881, and you, my friends, are in the running for $1,000 with the keyword to cash, yoga. 72881, message and data rates may apply. We will do Terrible Joke Tuesday at 3:45 this afternoon, Mr. Sterrett. Have you ever done that with us?
Never.
Okay, just follow along and... all you have to do is read some jokes, but you have to do it in a way that is convincing and conversational.
I will do my best.
Okay, so knock, knock. Who's there? That doesn't fly. You got to be conversational. Just follow along. You'll figure it out real quick.
Very well.
Here are your categories, ladies and gentlemen, for mixtape at 5 o'clock. Please get your pen and paper ready. Mr. Katz, Mr. Sterrett, Madam Wright. Are you ready?
Lay it on me.
Ready.
Okay. Song number one. This person has to still be alive.
Ooh, okay.
What song have you memorized in hopes that one day the lead singer will die? The band will hold tryouts and you will be picked in their place. The lead singer or lead singers have to still be alive.
Okay.
So I cannot pick Thin Lizzy, for example.
I cannot pick Whitney Houston.
You cannot. You clean out category number two, sorry. You clean out your closet only to find a box of old high school memorabilia. There is a single CD / album covered in dust at the bottom of the box. It's your favorite from that time. What CD is it? Or album, depending upon your age. Did you follow me on that one?
Mm-hmm.
We'll repeat in a second. And this one's for Mr. Sterrett. If you had but one easy listening soft rock song to listen to while stranded on a deserted island for the rest of your life.
Yes.
What would that soft rock song be?
That's not a slam dunk. That's actually very difficult.
For you, that's going to be very hard. For me, it's very simple.
Right.
All right, real quick. What song have you memorized in hopes that the lead singer dies and you get to be the replacement? He or she has to still be alive.
Okay.
You clean out your closet, old high school memorabilia. You find on the bottom a CD, your favorite from that time. That's important. From that time. What CD is it? And third, you have one soft rock song to listen to for the rest of your life while you're stuck on a deserted island. What soft rock song do you pick?
Okay. So it's just three?
Yeah, we just do three categories.
I thought there were four. I couldn't.
No.
Got it.
No.
I have a question for you as we...
For me or for Sterrett?
Well, you talk about the box of high school memorabilia. It's funny. I was cleaning out a storage room the other day, and I found my box of memorabilia. A couple of things from high school, maybe one or two, and I don't even know if that, but a ton of college memorabilia was in there. And... did you save that stuff, Scott? Do you have a box of that stuff, or did you just have, like, your yearbook?
No, I still have stuff from when I was a kid.
I mean, your letter? Like, do you have that stuff?
Well, my letter is sewed firmly onto my letter jacket. Yes, I do.
Will, did you keep anything?
You know, I have not gotten rid of my leather, my letter jacket. I don't wear
mine.
It.
Yeah, I do.
No, and that would make you a weirdo.
I sleep in mine.
All right, then.
Nights.
I still have a box full of all of my debate trophies and awards.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I don't take it out, but I can't bring myself to part with it.
Okay.
So. I actually have things from pre-high school more than I do.
Really?
Yes. In fact, I was cleaning out the house the other day, not the other day, but the other month. I found an old box. I could bring it in. When I was a kid, you know, growing up in the military, I used to go to Army surplus stores and collect patches, Army patches. I have some from World War II.
Wow.
And they sit in a box. You know, divisions that don't even exist anymore in the U.S. Army. I have their patches. Of course, I have every CD I've ever bought. I still have my KISS cards from the 1970s.
Of course.
Of course. And for a brief time in 1982, I got into stamp collecting.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Have you looked at some of those? They could be worth something.
Well, I was cleaning out my house and just, you know, I'm a purger.
And, I am too.
And I thought, I'm going to throw this in the bag. I could not draw myself to do it.
No.
And I was only into stamp collecting for like 6 months.
Have you gotten your collection appraised?
No.
You know, there are stamps out there, if they're out there. Let's say there are stamps that were printed that are thought to maybe be out there somewhere that are worth millions of dollars. You do know that.
Well, maybe I'll go get it appraised. I also, when I was living in Europe, I would collect coins from every country I visited, and I have them in a little tin.
Oh, keep that. That's awesome.
Yeah. The oldest one I have in there, and I would occasionally go to, like, I was such a nerd.
Clearly.
I would go to these, like, coin bazaars or whatever you would call them, and I do have an old English penny from 1901. I don't know if it's worth anything. Here's what I think is worth something. I have an East German mark that I got in East Berlin.
Oh.
Obviously, East Germany doesn't exist anymore, and they don't print East German marks anymore. I still have one.
Huh.
I don't know what they're worth, but...
I would never get rid of the stamps. I think that's interesting.
I almost did. I almost threw it in the trash.
There's a rare British stamp known as the Blue Penny Postal Stamp. And it was sold for nearly $4 million. There's a Hawaii missionary stamp from 1851. That's only worth $100,000. They are the first and oldest stamps in Hawaii. There's all kinds of... Like, if you have something that looks interesting, Scott, I would just maybe ask somebody. You never know.
Who do I take it to? I mean, who...
Listen
know.
To this one. The U.S. inverted airmail postage stamp of 1918. So it's what you think it is. It's an inverted airmail airplane, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Has a rare postage stamp value of $42,000. The face value is 24 cents. But if you have one, it's $42,000.
All right. Maybe I'll go get it appraised. I have no idea.
It's kind of crazy how much people are willing to pay for this
stuff. I meant to
stuff.
Share this with everyone yesterday, but I left it in the car by accident. So we're having my daughter's graduation party on Sunday or Saturday afternoon, Mr. Starrett.
Mm-hmm.
And Dana shows up and was a lovely guest and gave Sarah a very nice card and a couple bucks. And then Dana turns to me and hands me a card. I'm going to read you what's written on the card by Hallmark or whomever. Yeah, Hallmark. And then I'm going to read you what Dana actually wrote in handwriting. The card writes or reads, "Someone so much a part of us can never really be gone. All the words in the world would not be enough to say how sorry I am for your loss."
Nice.
Then that's
a bereavement card.
Yeah. I believe I added a word to the front as well.
Lie. This is what she writes inside said card. Scott, this one's for you on beautiful Sarah's graduation. Don't think of it like the death of your soul. I mean, it's sort of like that, but not totally. It's more like an open, gaping wound that will get bigger as her move-out date comes. Then it will explode like a festering, infected boil. Cool. Love, Dana.
Wow. That's
the card that I got on Saturday.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I didn't know Dana had
So much sympathy in her heart?
Well, I was thinking more. The way in which she used the words was very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of
the elocution is amazing.
Very moving.
But not totally. It's more like an open, gaping wound that will get bigger as her move-out date comes. And then it will explode like a festering, infected boil.
See?
And then she writes, cool. Love, Dana.
I like it, personally.
Woman has no heart. Woman has no heart. Caribbean Queen by Billy Ocean. So I found this story that Dana had put on Twitter. It's from the Kansas City Star. Man, there are some crazy people in this world. There really are.
Did you see the guy in Lee's Summit? And I'm not laughing about the DUI. Nothing funny about a DUI. But crashing your car drunk into the police station?
Twice.
Is funny. I'm sorry. I saw that headline and I thought, you have got to be kidding me.
Maybe he was trying to turn himself in.
He crashed into the police station.
Mm-hmm. Listen to this story. I know you've already heard it because you posted on Twitter. Four knives were found hidden in sand volleyball courts after a teenage girl was cut on the foot, according to police in Cape Girardeau. A police officer responded to Arena Park in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, at about 6:30 yesterday evening, according to KFVS. And when he got there, the two teens who had been playing volleyball handed over two poorly made kitchen knives. The teen's cut was small, thank God, and she didn't need medical attention. After learning about sharp objects hidden in the sand volleyball courts, Cape Girardeau Parks and Recreation immediately closed the courts. A total of four knives have been found so far. The sand volleyball courts will be closed for the next few weeks while park staff and the police department investigate. Park staff will be thoroughly checking the courts with metal detectors and rakes, according to the police department. As a result, the adult sand volleyball league games have also been postponed for at least a week. Quoting here from the Facebook post from the police department and the parks department, please note that the courts will be checked prior to each game or each night of games. If you do see suspicious activity, please contact the police. Weirdo. Who buries knives in a sand volleyball court?
I don't know.
Crazy
stuff. That's why I tweeted it. I'm like, are you even kidding me right now? There's a lot of weird news today. A lot of weird news today.
What do you got?
Well, I just think it's, I hate blaming things on the weather, but I think everyone is just generally in a really foul mood. And maybe that's why people are doing crazy things. I don't know.
Like putting knives in sand volleyball courts?
Yeah, like, I don't know, crashing your car into the Lee's Summit Police Department.
Well, I think that had more to do with alcohol than rain.
Maybe it was slippery and he was drunk. I don't know.
Damn rain. I was doing just fine driving drunk until the rain came.
You know, I heard on Midday Today, Jamie and Wicket reminding everyone.
Turn your lights on.
Turn your lights on, number one. Yes, right now, turn them on. Number two, if you see water over the road, we all know, don't drive over the water. But I texted them to remind them that when Chris lost his truck 2 years ago, it was pitch dark. There were no barricades. And once he saw it, he was in it.
It was too late.
No time to do anything.
And that car was totaled, wasn't it?
It was totaled, and it was a high-profile vehicle. Doesn't matter. That thing was a Rover, and the water took it. So be very careful tonight around the usual suspects, Turkey Creek, Indian Creek, the ones that always flood. Brush Creek, anywhere near 103rd and State Line, you know in your neighborhood where it floods. You know.
Sure.
And so I would caution everyone at night to be very careful around those low-lying areas, because when Chris lost that truck, there was no way anyone driving into that could have seen it. The water came up over the bridge. He was in it. End of story.
How'd he get out?
He doesn't really know.
What do you mean he doesn't know?
I think it just, he said it happened so fast. And he goes, I know that's so stupid. That's such a cliche. But it just, 1 minute I was driving and the next minute water was coming up over the hood. I've asked him, like, do you remember panicking? Because I would be going, oh, my God. I should have bought that.
He got out of the car, right?
He somehow got it to the top of the hill. And he doesn't know how. He got out of it.
And then
Car was totaled.
Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Will Sterrett. That's a jam.
Damn straight.
Is there any debate?
No. Of course not.
Oh, that's a good one. It's Spandau Ballet. It's Spandau.
No, it's Spandau.
Well, they're both stupid.
She cannot. The woman cannot admit when she's wrong. She can't do it.
S-P-A-N-D-A-U.
Spandau.
What does that even mean?
Stop diverting. You were wrong.
I'm looking it up.
Admit it that you're wrong.
Span.
Hey, put it in that little pronouncer English thing that you had yesterday, Mr. Sterrett.
Yeah, the one that clearly showed everyone you don't know how to say.
And I admitted that I was wrong. I said, I stand corrected. I was wrong.
If it has that word. Oh, here we go.
Spandau.
I'm ready.
That's not what you said. He said Spandau.
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 He's also a computer.
Spandau.
That's the weirdest word I've ever heard. It is a district of Berlin, Germany.
I know. That's how I knew how to pronounce
Spandau.
It.
And which of the two people in that room used to live in Germany?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard that.
Then I'll tell you about it. We moved to Heidelberg in 1984, lived there for 2 years, moved to Dusseldorf in 1986.
Do you know where they came up with the name?
I don't care. All I care about is you admitting that you're wrong.
Scrawled on a nightclub bathroom wall during a trip to Berlin. It's a
Spandau.
Spandau.
She can't do it, sir. She cannot do it.
Fine.
Say it. Say the words.
I pronounced it incorrectly.
No. Uh-uh.
What's the name of the band?
Spandau.
Now say Ballet. I was wrong.
I misspoke when I pronounced Spandau.
Why can't you do it? Why can't you do it?
I was wrong.
Ooh.
See, look, there it was.
Record it.
At 3:38 on this date, I was wrong.
Oh, my God.
Record it, because it's the only time you're going to hear that.
Spandau.
Spandau.
Ballet.
Dumbest name I've ever heard in my entire
Great
life.
Song, though.
Yeah, it was all right.
All right, what story do you have for... Oh, well, but stick around, Mr. Sterrett, or at least come back at 3:45 for Terrible Joke
Tuesday. Please come back. A family is suing the University of Maryland. Follow me here, parents of college kiddos, and certainly if they're getting ready to go to college. Their daughter died suddenly and very sadly by something called adenovirus.
Adenovirus.
And I've already looked that up. It is contagious in places in close quarters. So read that.
College dormitories. Yeah.
They are suing the University of Maryland, accusing the university of neglecting to quickly inform students of an outbreak of a virus that ultimately left their daughter dead. Hmm. She, God bless her, her name's Olivia Perigal, became so sick she had to leave the school. She was hospitalized because of her condition. The university discovered its first case November 1, so at the beginning of November, and did not inform the students. Okay?
What university was this?
University of Maryland.
Okay.
Now, Olivia got sick very quickly, Scott. Her immune system was already weakened by a medication she took for Crohn's disease, which I'm guessing the school would not have known that. And the parents are suing the school. I'm quoting here from Mom and Dad. The school had a diagnosis of adenovirus 10 days before. Had they told us about it, doctors could have treated Olivia sooner. The medication they gave her needed a week to take hold. She didn't have that much time. At the time, there were 6 confirmed cases of adenovirus on campus that included Olivia's roommate. Now, here's my question for you. certainly if you're an attorney. This is all wrapped up in privacy issues, health issues, college, so these kids are 18, adult issues. The college certainly could not have told mom and dad, right?
That's a good question. I mean, there is a medical privacy provision here, is there not?
But if there's a measles outbreak, or what's the really, really bad one?
Measles is bad.
No, I know. I know that mono. One's bad. Mono. No, it's the other one. You could lose your limbs if you get it. If there is something
leprosy?
Really serious on campus, now the one that you've got to get the shot for when you go off to college. Has Sarah not gotten her shots yet? Meningitis. If there is an outbreak of something like that,
you can lose your limbs from meningitis?
Yes. How do the schools handle that? Are they bound to say, generally, we have six cases, we can't talk about those cases? But Scott, if your child lives in dorm A, and four of those cases are in dorm A, do the other students not have the right to be informed of that?
Yes. And no.
And no.
Yeah, I think the university, and I'm no lawyer, but I could play one if I needed to. I think the school has a responsibility to tell people we've got a problem.
But is a problem one? Or is a problem, in this case, there were six. There were six confirmed cases.
And then at what point are they violating HIPAA? Because the school would have had to have learned about it from either the school clinic.
Correct.
Or from a hospital in town who must have told the administration, hey
this is our fourth case.
There's a case of meningitis. You have four cases of measles on your campus.
They all go to school at KU. Tell somebody.
And then where has the hospital then not violated the HIPAA law?
I don't know how that works.
I mean, where do you draw the line between protecting the privacy of a student, okay, in the close confines that you and I both know are a college campus, where do you draw the line between protecting the rights of a student and protecting the safety of the other students?
Okay, I remember when the kids were in grade school getting an email saying, we just want to make everyone aware there is a reported case of...
head lice.
Yeah, I was going to say chicken pox, but head lice.
We'd get that a lot.
Please check your bags, don't share hats. That isn't a privacy violation, even though you know every kid knows who it is because that kid had to go home for 2 days and go spend $100 at Comer's. Not saying I know.
Lisa in...
I might. Times four kids.
Hey, we know that too. We only had two.
It was a long year.
Lisa in Leawood. Hello, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Anytime.
I have two, I now have one child in college and one just graduated, and I work as a nurse, and the college would have known that this young lady would have an immunosuppressive condition, because you have to fill out all those health histories before they will let you go to campus. Now, I don't know, is it the college's responsibility to go over everybody's medical records and then notify people? I don't know if that's reasonable, because I would imagine there's 20 or 30,000 kids at that school.
Wait, Lisa, if your child has Crohn's disease, you have to tell the university that?
I believe so. Don't you remember filling out those health histories before the kids go on campus?
Not for college, no. I do know they have to have verification that they have vaccines. There's like two or three vaccines that they have to have. But I don't remember filling anything out saying this student has this disorder and this student has that. I don't. Can they ask that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. I know with my daughters, they didn't go to school in the state of Kansas, but I know I had to fill out forms like that. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
Maybe it's different. Maybe it's different state to state, or maybe it's different private versus public.
Mm-hmm.
But I think very reasonably, though, the school could have sent out just a very generic alert, just attention students, like you said about the headlights. There's been five reported cases.
Yeah. So that if you start feeling sick, Now, for her, I believe she came down with this and then boom. I mean, it was very fast, Scott.
Contracted,
like,
died.
I think within day or days.
Let's go to Brenda in Pleasant Hill. Hello, Brenda.
Hi.
Hello.
I go to UMKC, or I work there, and we got a notification that someone has a live TB virus. So as long as they don't give the name of the person, I believe it's fine, but they should have notified the parents that that was an issue, just not giving out personal information.
Well, how would you... Wait.
But see, I don't think the parents ever get that notification because these are young adults.
That's right.
And...
Your student does not have to show you their college grades. They are adults. But let me say this, Brenda, and there was something in the background, so I'm going to ask this question then bring you back in. You said the parents should have been notified. Well, the students were probably notified. We don't know that for a fact, but probably notified. The parents probably were not. However, let's say that the student was notified, and the school even went so far as to say, by the way, it's one of your roommates. Would that not be a violation of HIPAA?
Oh, yeah, that would.
They shouldn't tell it was a roommate because they could figure out who it was. But, yeah, they should notify them that there's an issue, whether or not the student was old enough to get that information or the parent. It should have been out there because the whole school got that information. All the staff and faculty and everyone got that information via email.
But should parents be notified? I mean, let's remember that your college kid is not really a kid anymore. They are an adult.
I do think parents should be notified if it's an outbreak, Scott. And here's why. Those kids get so many emails and so many notifications. You would be able to say to your child, hey, FYI, there is an outbreak going on right now. This is what it is. If you start feeling sick, call me immediately. We will get you in to see a physician.
So let's say your 18-year-old didn't go to college but got a job working in a close, confined office. Should the business be responsible for texting and emailing your parents?
I think that's different.
Is it?
Yes.
How?
I don't know. It just is.
At some point, we have to just say, you're 18 years old, you're an adult.
Wouldn't you say to your roommate, Scott, and I'm not saying she did not do this, but if you are immunocompromised, you know you are immunocompromised, would you not at least say to your roommates, hey, FYI, I know we just met. Yep, I like alternative music, and I like going out and drinking free beer on Fridays. Yep, nice to meet you. FYI, I'm immunocompromised. If you start feeling sick or if you come down with, I don't know, tuberculosis, I need to know that.
I'd like to know, not a lawyer. I am not a lawyer. I'd like to know on what grounds the parents believe they have standing to sue. The child was at least 18 years old. If somebody murdered your parents, God forbid, knock on wood, it never happens, would you have the right to sue their accused murderer?
The university, Scott. Well, of course you do. Look at Ron Goldman's family sued O.J. Simpson civil court for that murder.
That's a fair point.
And won.
And a good argument.
The university publicly acknowledged the outbreak upon her death.
All right.
That's when they acknowledged it, and I don't like that.
We'll do Terrible Joke Tuesday in just a moment. Get your jokes in now at 22980. Good point, by the way, on the Ron Goldman argument. 22980, it has to be terrible, but it has to be arable. Very important. Terrible, but arable. Text your terrible joke to 22980.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm.
All right, let's do this because we went late on that last segment. Sorry about that. But this is Mr. Sterrett's first ever Terrible Joke Tuesday, so we'll try to get one in by each of us at least. Hey, you guys, Sterrett and Dana, you ever wonder what you would call a fish with two knees? A fish with two knees.
I've never wondered that.
Well,
I wonder it now.
You would call... Well, thank you, Mr. Sterrett.
Of course.
You would call it a toonie fish.
Wow. from Jake Tapper of CNN fame.
Yeah.
What do you call a man who has no torso or legs or head? He's just a nose. What do you call that man?
I don't know. What do you call that man?
Nobody knows.
You want to try one? First ever? I know you're a virgin at this, but...
Yeah.
What Don't did, sound so excited. I'm
trying to think of the proper way to set this one up. That's the thing. It's not as easy as it looks. What did one flag say to the other one?
What did one flag say to the other one?
Think for this. Think on it for a second.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Nothing. They just waved at each other.
No! It's an oldie but a goodie. We've done this one before. Did you guys ever hear about that restaurant they opened up on the moon?
No.
Oh, it's great food, man, but no atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. So, my ex-husband was deaf, and he ran away with a deaf friend of his.
Huh?
I should have seen the signs.
Hang on, let me see if I can find one more real quick. What do you call two hippopotamuses on a bicycle?
Gee, I don't know, Scott. What do you call two hippopotamuses on a bicycle?
Optimists.
Hey, Will.
Yo.
Sometimes I tuck my knees into my chest and bend over. That's just how I roll.
You ever wonder what a clam does on its birthday?
What?
It celebrates.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.